You may have seen him as Logan in Westworld, as the bone-chilling villain The Darkling in Netflix's Shadow and Bone, or as Prince Caspian in The Chronicles of Narnia. But now actor Ben Barnes is embracing his musical side. His debut album, Where the Lights Get In, is out now. And in it, you hear influences of Motown and old school rock, like in the song we're listening to right now, the title track from the album. And somebody told me that I'm not the only one who feels the scars on my skin. Somebody showed me. Barnes will be in Chicago for the U.S. leg of his tour tonight at the House of Blues. Ahead of the show, the actor and musician joins us now for more on his musical journey. Ben Barnes, welcome to WBEZ's Reset.
Thank you so much for having me. That was such a nice introduction. Thank you.
Oh, you like that?
Yeah. I haven't done a lot of radio interviews for the music with, you know, the songs that I wrote by being in the background. So that's a treat. Thank you.
Nice. Well, you know, as I mentioned there, you know, many people, we know you as an actor, but you said in a previous interview that this album was a long time coming. In fact, more than 20 years in the making. And I did some math. I mean, you're 43. So basically, we're talking about your entire adult life here, right?
Yeah. So when I was 19, I was actually signed to sing jazz to a small company in the UK. And I was recording sort of jazzy blues covers. And I used to do these Sinatra tribute concerts when I was at school, when I was literally 15 or 16. And I always thought music would be the path that I took, and somehow I ended up being in movies, which was never kind of something that I thought would ever happen. That felt like some kind of distant Hollywood dream, and so I just chased it.
Yeah, now you're going full force with the music. So did you find this type of like reinvention challenging, or does one creative field sort of naturally lend itself to the other?
I think in terms of the storytelling aspect, I've had a lot of practice over the last two decades of the way in which I want to tell the story and the parts of myself that I want to kind of inject into those stories. But I think sharing who you are as a person and telling your own story, there's a vulnerability to that, but also a freedom to be able to find ways to sew those into these songs which feel like mine, as opposed to when I'm on a film set trying to tell someone else's story through my lens.
Right.
It's felt really wonderful. Yeah, it's a really valuable experience.
Well, you know what else feels really wonderful? This album, listening to it.
It's
such an easy listen, Ben. I mean, you know what it reminded me of? The stuff I used to play on like a Saturday morning when I'm cleaning the house. Or
yeah.
A couple of your songs made me feel like I wanted to get in the car and just drive across the country.
Oh, that's so interesting, because I've been talking on stage the last few nights about that we get, there's a couple of songs that I get to from the album, and I kind of tell the crowd, like, this is my favorite song to drive to, where I can't help but nod my head, even though it's some of my own tunes. So I know what you mean. It's kind of that soul coffee morning feel.
Which is your favorite song to drive to? I'm curious.
My favorite song to drive to, that, because obviously I was listening to the album a lot before it came out to kind of test it in different places, and you test it in your car and in your home, and you test it in your headphones, and you play it with other people in the room and try not to panic. But I think the song Someday, which is one of the last songs, is, it's kind of one of the few songs on there that you can really dance to, but it's also a very good, it's a very good head noddy one when you're driving.
Yeah, you know what? Why don't we listen to Someday? You're getting me in the mood for that track, so let's play it right now.
Okay, great.
My voice, I say your name, but it's old enough. I know that ancient sound, but it's changed somehow. You say that we won't fade, but I've lost some ground. We build the whole world up and then burn it down. You say wait for me, but it's so late. Tell me you're getting there, but all I hear is Someday,
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 Someday.
Oh my goodness. I wish you could see me right now, because I am bouncing up and down in my chair. What is that instrument I'm hearing at the beginning? Because that beat is just phenomenal.
The beat, it's literally like a rim click on a stair.
Wow.
Which is, it was all recorded completely organically. It's all real instruments in one room together. We had two of the guys from Maroon 5, James Valentine and Sam Farrar, the guitarist and the bass player, who helped me, Sam helped me produce the album. Because that early Maroon 5 kind of soulful pop sound was something that I loved when I was growing up. And so we had those two guys and then a bunch of the musicians that I'm currently on tour with now in a room in a beautiful old studio with a 1970s sound desk. And we recorded it very much old school. Like most of the songs are, you know, a take of the song with the band, with these just brilliant musicians playing on it, which is an experience that I'd never had, because in the pandemic, when I put my EP together, everybody was in lockdown. So I was trying to put together drums from Ireland and horns from, you know, the Bay Area of the West Coast of the States. And the piano was coming in from downtown. And we were sort of stitching it all together remotely. So this was like a really magical experience for me, just getting my sort of 70s rock star on.
Nice. Well, how would you describe your music to people who hadn't heard it before?
I think I describe the genre as kind of soul pop, because it is, I think my sort of lyrical sensibility is the pop music that I grew up with, probably in the 90s, and really kind of catchy hooks. I sort of, the one thing that I found as a skill set for myself, kind of writing lyrical hooks for songs that sound like cliches or sound like sayings or sound like something you've heard before, but they're actually fresh thoughts. But then my musical taste and my musical inspiration, a lot of it is from the 70s, rummaging around in the back of my dad's vinyl collection, picking out the Stevie Wonder and picking out the Elton John and kind of all of those 70s, Marvin Gaye, Donny Hathaway, Aretha Franklin, all of that stuff. It's the kind of stuff that my heart really, my gut really responds to when it comes on. Like, you know, I have to close my eyes and disappear. So I think it's like infused with that, but it's slightly more it's slightly more modern day pop, because I think everything gets passed through the filter of who you are and what you grew up with and the things that you that inform who you are, because it's a real true expression of who you are, the music you make, I think.
That explanation makes so much sense. It makes me want to listen to another track. Here is Nevermind.
I can wait all I want, but your heart is spoken for. It was never mine, so never mind. Never mind. Sometimes I hide and I don't.
So Ben, I understand this song holds a special place for you.
Yes, I think I, like a lot of people in the course of the pandemic, was sort of suffering with a lot of anxious feelings and panicky feelings, and found myself kind of trying to discover new ways in my early 40s to negotiate these kinds of emotional ups and downs that I hadn't really, I'd been very lucky not to have to negotiate before. And so this song was kind of born out of wanting to find or make something soothing about the ways in which you kind of manage those things, like lying on the ground, taking deep breaths, taking hot showers, going for runs. We shot a beautiful video for this song, running through the streets and the parks of New York, trying to sort of run away those kinds of feelings. But it's also about the kind of fantasy stories that you tell yourself, whether they're romantic or not, but the stories that you kind of tell yourself in the midst of those things, in the midst of those feelings sometimes, to make yourself feel more at peace.
Now, Ben, I want to talk about your debut album and the album cover. So on it, we see your face and we see your shoulders, and it's like there are these cracks in your skin. But yes, the cracks are repaired with gold. So it kind of reminds me of the Japanese practice of fixing broken pottery with gold to try to make it more beautiful.
Yes.
Was that kintsugi, the inspiration here?
Kintsugi, yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Kintsugi, the Japanese art of fixing anything ceramic using gold. And I think I just love the concept of when something is broken or fractured, that you can repair it with gold and thereby make it more valuable and precious than it was before. And I think a lot of my songs have that kind of hopefulness in them, that celebratory nature. And I realize, you know, after I write a lot of the songs, I think often people do tend to sort of gravitate back towards the same thing, themes, and the idea of feeling lovable because of everything that you are. I think that the idea that we are worth more on this planet because of our experiences is a really beautiful idea. It's not that I set out to write about that. I don't know. It seems to creep into so much of what I write about. But I think, you know, we're the sum of our experiences, essentially. And what else is there to really write about than share with each other than our experiences? I'm sure that's just, just entirely human.
What do you think the cracks represent for you?
I think for me, they represent griefs that you've been through. They represent heartbreak. They represent disappointment. They represent tragedy. They represent anything that you've had to endure, essentially, as a person. And the idea that we can reframe those things into experience and benefit from the experience of those things and share our experiences with other people and realize that there are other people who've been through the same things as us, and they make us wiser and they make us stronger, essentially. And so that's what they represent. And there was also a cheeky nod to a couple of the shows I've been in. I was in a show called Shadow and Bone on on Netflix. I played a villain who had in the second season had sort of black veined facial scarring. So this was kind of a sort of wink to that if that was to happen to me in real life, this is my sort of golden, hopeful version of the same thing. And I think there are a few people who've kind of picked up on that as well, but there was kind of almost an in-joke, really.
Your music is a different vibe than your characters, for sure.
Yeah, the last few years I've certainly played a lot of villains, but I'm trying to change that. I just finished filming a new Stephen King adaptation, and I play a man who's finally found a moral compass. So
to play
a good guy again after 6 or 7 years of playing
dark villains,
murderers and villains is definitely, it feels good. It feels good on the, it sits more lightly on me, for sure.
Yeah. Well, now you are on this US tour, and it's a big step, I think, for your musical career. So talk more about what it means for you to not be stationed on a TV or movie set, but you're on the road and you're going from city to city and meeting fans and finally sharing your music with the world.
Yes. Well, you've just said the magic word there, which is, I love the fact that when we talk about, you know, releasing music and we talk about sharing it. Well, I don't know about you, but when I was younger, I would make mixtapes on cassettes, and you would share them. You would pass them around. And
sister and I did the exact same thing.
Yeah. And when we talk about releasing music, when you make it, you talk about sharing it. That's literally the verb that they use, and I love that. And I feel like I have been on sets for 20 years or so, and you usually get stationed somewhere remote, often for months on end. It can be quite a sort of lonely experience sometimes, then the shows, you know, get streamed or the movies reach the cinemas, but I don't actually have to go and I don't see those reactions. And this is a very interpersonal, being on tour like this, not only with the band, living on a bus and kind of sharing those experiences, but also being able to go to the cities where people live, and they get to, you know, we may have been driving for, you know, 10 hours overnight, but they get to wake up in their own beds and then come to the show that night. And you really share something that is connected when you're singing something that you made, you know, possibly years before, from an experience that you've had. And then you're suddenly singing it to 1,000 people who are just kind of staring up at you, and they're maybe they're swaying to the music, maybe they're singing along if they've heard it, maybe they're moving their feet, maybe they're just sort of lost in a reverie. But there's no wrong way to react to music, and I love seeing all the different reactions in the different cities. It's amazing.
I was on your Instagram, and you just mentioned being, you know, on the bus with your band. What that's like? Your parts 1 and 2 of your vocal chronicles. Those are hilarious. So you
Very
have these,
silly.
These cute little silly videos where you're doing vocal warm ups, and sometimes you're given diva. Sometimes.
Do you know what it is? It's that
plain fun.
I see the way that other people sort of use social media, and I think sometimes it kind of makes me roll my eyes a little bit how earnest it can all be. And so sometimes I like to kind of encouragingly and gently kind of mock what's happening on the internet.
Yeah.
And I think
it
that
was
sometimes
so
you see
funny.
Very serious videos about people's processes. And so, I like to make little sketches, ridiculous goofy sketches kind of sending up those moments, and I think the gang that I'm with on the bus gets a kick out of it as well. So, you've got to keep it silly on the road.
So is none of that real? Are those not your, real rituals?
I do a lot of those things. Obviously I had them all with me, and I am definitely trying to preserve my singing voice for 2 months straight, singing.
You're 20, steaming and you're drinking different teas.
I'm doing all of that because singing 20, for some reason, I tend to write songs that are really hard to sing. I don't know why. Next time I will make them lower. But singing 20 songs a night is definitely, actually the hardest bit for me is that you're supposed, you're supposedly from after the show until at least sort of lunchtime the next day to kind of stay quiet and not speak to too many people. I find that very difficult when there's so many things to kind of get on with and so many issues to solve and interviews to do. So,
well, I won't keep you talking for too much longer. You will be at the House of Blues tonight for the Chicago stop of your tour, Ben. What can people expect?
Well, we've been calling the tour the mini festival of joy because I have this unbelievable band, which is made up of solo artists. So every night we have 3 of the band members, and they revolve who it is, but every night 3 of the band members are the opening acts for the first hour, and they're all incredible singer-songwriters: Charles Jones, Zoe Sparks, Sophia James, and Aaron Childs. You can look any of those up and you're in for a treat. So they're the openers, and then we kind of have the main event. It's full of songs from the album, songs from the EP. We have a lot of fun covers of some of my favorite artists, some of whom I've mentioned in this interview, and we let the audience kind of choose. So it's hopefully a very kind of interactive, joyful evening, which you leave with a little bit of soul in your step, hopefully.
We've been talking with actor and musician Ben Barnes. He stops in Chicago tonight at the House of Blues. Now, doors open at 7 p.m., and you can find out more information at houseofblues.com. Ben Barnes, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it. Thanks for listening to the album. Love it.
Sure. We'll go out on one more track. This is Take Me to the Moon.
Don't think I'm not thinking about it. How do I live without? Make no mistake.